Welcome to Just Checking In, a podcast like your virtual friend that quite literally just asks how you're doing and see what unravels there. I am Marja Stani, your host. In this episode, we're going to tap deeper into spiritual awakening and practices with someone who actually knows it in and out of a textbook understanding. I talked to Anna, also known as Luna, here in the Philippines. She is a musician, intuitive healer, one of my go-to tarot card reader, and my Gemini twin, born one day apart. So let's go ahead and check in. I guess like to start it off, if you can introduce yourself to me, to us, whoever you want to address to, would love to hear it.
Yeah, okay. Hi. I go by many names. The one that I like the most right now is Lunaris. Probably many of my old school music fans know me as Nana. Of course, you and my friends know me as Anna. Whichever name you want to use is cool with me. That's me.
Oh my gosh, love that. It's just literally your name. It's always so interesting when I ask, you know, like guests to introduce, I guess, like themselves. Like it's more of like, because I definitely will introduce you guys, like, you know, like there's like an intro with the edit and stuff, but it's kind of just like, I guess, like an experiment of like how people like to identify, or you know, like how they'd like to introduce themselves. And you're definitely the only one, the first one as far as I remember that only literally introduced themselves.
Oh my god, okay.
just like their name, because like everyone, you know, like most are like, oh, like I'm this and I do this and you know this is my job and all these things, and some are also just like I'm this and I'm Marge friend or whatever, and like yours is, it always just like surprises me. So I'm just like, yes, yeah, you're Lunaris. Is that how I pronounce it?
Yeah, I don't know, I always feel really awkward when people like ask me to introduce myself. That's usually what I do. I just give my name, because like I feel like, honestly, nowadays I feel more like a concept.
Right, interesting. But yeah, I do want to check in with you. How are you? Since the last time we spoke, I just feel like every time, you know, like we catch up with one another, it's like me, like, you know, I guess I'm asking for a reading or whatever. So this is your space. So I do want to like check in and see how you are these days.
Honestly, I'm pretty busy these days. Like, last time we met up, I remember saying that one of my goals was to get more, like, more focused career-wise and stuff, and that's, like, definitely happened, like, since last week. Like, last week, everything, like, jump-started, and now I don't really have, like, a minute to myself nowadays. Mm-hmm. I say nowadays, but it's been, like, a week or something.
Yeah. Yeah, so do you mean, you know, like all these things like kicking off, is this more of the like for personal work that you do?
Yeah, I think things have just been really picking up the pace, like all of the projects that I wanted to work on, all of the things that I was trying to manifest so hard for the past like 3 months have like started kicking in. It's like all of my requests got backed up and zipping in on one go.
Yeah, that's great. Can you share with me like what are these like things, if you can name them?
I really wanted to get into graphic design, and then that I got my first project thanks to one of our good friends Venus Doritas, and she hooked me up with that. And then the person that hired me introduced me, like literally on the same day that I got that gig, they introduced me to a person who like right away offered me like a full-time job doing something. I'm not sure if I can talk about that yet, but it's like writing work similar to what I've been doing for the past half year. And then that person also hired me to do a tarot reading for him tomorrow. So that's coming in. And then my band, We got signed, my bad, Shades of Native. We got signed in December to a new label, and we just started, we're finally off hiatus, and we're starting recording. We're going to start shooting promotional stuff soon. Hopefully that's going to come out in June, which is going to be my birthday.
Yes, the day after my birthday.
Yeah,
yes, our birthday. Oh my God. Yes. Yeah.
It was so wild. Like, actually, one of my bandmates has the same birthday as me. And just yesterday, I kind of, like, went out after one of my meetings I can't remember the name of this place anymore, but it's where Old Nopal used to be in Poblacion. And I kind of, like, read cards very briefly for this guy that I was sitting across. Come to find out that we have the exact same birthday also. And then he calls over one of his friends, and I was there with Venus first. And like, he called over one of his friends because he heard that I grew up in Dubai. And he's like, I also have a friend who grew up in Dubai. And then we find out that I went to not just one, but two schools. We went to two of the same schools together. God. And he has the same birthday as Venus. It was really wild. Like, that was, it was crazy.
That's wild. I mean, like, we definitely, like, you have a lot of, like, those kind of stories. And I definitely, like, remember we had shared, you know, stories like that. But that's,
yeah,
every day is an interesting, you know, like, discovery. And I'm just happy, like, hearing, you know, like, things come, I guess, like, coming together for you. And, you know, like, all with all of these things, you know, said, I'm really happy for you. I was wondering, what do you kind of, like, I guess, like, I know, like, you love doing these things, but more of, like, what do you do besides these things that gives you joy and pleasure, like, something that is not, you know, in a creation or, like, work mode?
I recently started painting. I always kind of knew that I had an eye for it and that it wouldn't be hard for me to get into it, but I really put it off for a really long time. And then I started getting into it around last year. So I've been painting as my therapy, my art therapy. I think that's the only thing that I don't try to monetize at the moment anyway.
The only thing that I don't try to monetize. I love that. You know, like, because no, but honestly though, like, we're like at an age where, you know, like, a lot of our passions, I guess, are the things that we do, it's like a default, like, oh, how can I, you know, like, monetize these? And, you know, like, we sometimes there's not like that balance anymore of like things that we just do for fun and play. So glad that you have that. I also actually started painting, which is like, you know, I'm finishing like my first ever piece. I've been working on like for probably more than a month now. But yeah, like for you, if it's like something that you thought, like, you know, like you had an eye for or whatever. Like for me, for the longest time, I cannot draw, right? Like, I guess like I can if I try to learn to, but like that was something that it's not natural for me to, like, I'm already good at it. So I've always thought, like, you know, like those types of, I guess, like activities is not something, you know, like that I want, but something in me, you know, like the past one was just like, you know, I feel like painting would be therapy. So I tried it out. So that's great. I, you know, jumping to like this whole conversation of like checking in with one another, I would love to, and you know, like for this one, you can share as much as you want, you know, whatever you're comfortable with. I briefly like wanted just like to ask your life story, and I know like that's such a vast, you know, like question, but I'm kind of like more of wondering to get I guess like I want to get to know you, like your background, right? Because the when we first met up to this point, I really only know like you as you are right now, maybe even not totally, right? Like just like the works that you do and all these things. But yeah, like I'm really curious about your background. Like where were you born? Where did you grow up? I know that you just moved here in Manila, but I didn't even know like the whole Dubai thing and all these things. So yeah, like if you could share a little bit more about your past.
Yeah, like which past? Okay, yeah. So I was born and raised in Dubai. I lived there up until I was 18. I'd always known that I was going to move here at 18, so it was just kind of something that I waited for, like, but something that I really hung on to. I grew up in a really big family with a pretty unstable home life, to be honest. I think that's probably why I'm so driven to, like, be on this path that I am. I'm from a family of eight, so we have six kids. Yeah, big family, lots of love. Big problems, as the case is most of the time with big families. Then I moved to Dumaguete in 2012. I went to school for a little bit because I felt like it was the right thing to do. But if I'm going to be totally honest, like, I just could not do it. Like, sitting in class was really hard for me, especially because, like, I had really, really bad, like, social anxiety. I had so many triggers that I didn't know were triggers, and I didn't know that I was having all these like panic attacks in class all the time, and that's why I didn't go. So I spent a really long time feeling bad about that until, I mean, I was very, very fortunate to always have music in my life, and I think I had never written a good song until I moved here. For some reason. And I, of course, had a band in college, but there was this project in Dumaguete where they would get like artists and you could audition to go to be in like this anthology that they would put together. It's called the Bell Tower Project. And honestly, that project like saved my life. I never thought that my individual voice or my writing would have any value or merit if it was just by itself. And that was the first time I ever did something solo. And then I just kept playing. I played in Dumaguete for about 3 years before I needed to take a break and slow down. So I went back to my mom's hometown in Bukidnon. I went there. I stayed there for about 3 years maybe. Then I was very lucky to find really good friends, and we also made a band. And then I moved here to Manila last year in January, just in the nick of time for the pandemic to hit.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So all of that I didn't know. So thanks for sharing. But you're full Filipino, or?
Yeah, I am.
Interesting. Like, I really do want to talk a lot about, you know, the whole stuff that you're doing now. But now that we've talked about your background and stuff, I just like wanted to, I guess, like ask as well, what was it like for you? You know, what was your life like in Dubai? Like, what was, you know, it like for you, I guess, not being in your homeland? Or, you know, was it like something that you didn't struggle with? And what was the transition like when you, you know, when you moved here? So kind of just like the difference and the gaps that happened for you there.
Yeah. Wow. Well, living in Dubai for me was really hard, actually. Aside from like my home life, I think living in a country that was, because Dubai is a city and the whole country is called the United Arab Emirates. Mm-hmm. It's a very new country. It's not even, I think it's not even been around for like 100 years yet. So everything was kind of not super settled in. When I was living there, it wasn't really glamorous yet. There weren't a lot of immigrants even. There weren't a lot of Filipinos around either, except for like the people that my parents knew. It was really difficult because in Dubai, you can never be a citizen. And as an immigrant, you're a third class citizen. You don't really have a lot of rights, in my opinion. There's always like this looming threat of like being deported if you step out of line, or if you try to speak your mind. And although I did learn a lot, because as I as I grew older, more and more immigrants came in. I think I got a lot of exposure to a lot of different cultures and ethnicities and backgrounds. So I really love that about it. But as a person, especially like as a very energetically sensitive person, it was very difficult because there's not a lot of value placed into spirituality in Dubai. Like, there's definitely a lot of very religious people. Religion is greatly respected there, for all religions, like Christians, Muslims, Buddhists. But I felt like there was a distinct lack of connection to source. Like, there was this lack of spirituality that I was looking for. I think the country as a whole was so focused on becoming more developed, becoming more lucrative. And it is a desert country. I didn't really get a lot of opportunities to explore nature because I lived in a city. That was pretty difficult. And then when I moved here, it was such a huge culture shock. Like, wow. Like, when I got here and I saw people walking around in like spaghettis and like shorts in the summer, I was just like, oh my God, you can do that here? Like, wow. There's such like an underlying danger living in a Middle Eastern country as an immigrant woman. You're constantly in danger, and it's something that all immigrant mothers teach their women to fear. You're taught to fear, and you're not taught how to defend yourself or how to say no or how to set strong boundaries. And unfortunately, those were lessons that I had to learn the hard way when I came here.
Yeah, you see, like, I'm just like, yeah, I'm taking like, you know, all these information because these are, again, like things that we didn't really talk about, you know, for, you know, the time that we were connected to each other. And so I did hear a lot about, you know, like these challenges that you had in Dubai. And so I guess like I want to hear more. What was like the transition? Like, you know, I guess like the Anna, you know, that was living for 18 years in Dubai, like who was she like and how did she change or I guess like evolved? And like, what are the parts of yourself that you discovered, you know, when you were settled and moved here in the Philippines?
Well, I think the first thing I discovered was that I was actually holding a lot of anger. Like, I had always thought that I was a very patient person and that I have a lot of, I give a lot of room for people. And while that's true, I always prided myself on not, like, being angry for some reason. I think a lot of immigrant women feel the same way, to be honest. And then when I got here and I didn't have to worry about angering authority figures or not worrying about being displaced from the country I was living in, I was so angry, like really, really angry. I felt so utterly unprepared for adult life, like managing my finances, and added to the fact that I don't speak Bisaya or Tagalog, because my parents, although they did try, they just never had time to really teach us any of those things. And I felt so disconnected from like my home country. When I was living in Dubai, it was made super clear to me that I'm always a Filipino. I will forever be a Filipino. But when I got here, a lot of people were telling me that I wasn't, because I didn't know anything about the Philippines. I don't have language. I didn't even eat a lot of our cultural food until I moved here. It was very frustrating, especially because when I first moved to Dumaguete, there weren't a lot of foreigners staying there in the first place. I felt incredibly isolated and like I felt like a stranger here, to be honest. I think that once I was able to start making music, and around like when I was 20, 21, I was making my solo music. It was the first time I really let myself examine all of my emotions and like not say, but like sing it out just like into the world. And although I stayed angry for a very long time after that, like I think it definitely helped me evolve as a person. And then like performing and going out, it really forces you to like not have social anxiety. That was pretty hard. Like I'd always been a performer, but the first time I performed ever in a bar, like, was so hard. I cried through the whole thing. I only sang 3 songs. I cried the whole time, and I apologized after my set. And honestly, that's how I performed for like the first couple months. A lot of people kind of thought that I was crazy, and maybe I was a little bit.
Thank you for sharing that. I wanted to ask actually, which or you already named, you know, about like, you know, like you felt like a stranger here and like, you know, you don't speak the language and all these things. And now, you know, it's been years that you've settled in here, been, you know, to places around here. Would you say that you have more of a solid, I guess, like foundation where you can be like, oh yeah, like I belong here. Like, you know, like I am a Filipino and these is like my people and this is like my community and I don't feel as isolated as I felt before, even if still to this day there's like that gap, you know, with the language. And I guess like that's the only thing that I can name right now, but I don't know if there's any other, you know, stuff going on. But yeah, like how do you feel about that now?
I would say that I feel a lot less displaced, but I don't honestly know if I could say that I feel more connected to Filipinos. I definitely feel more connected to our people as a whole. But I think that has to do more with me feeling more connected with the world in general. Mm-hmm. I think when I started my spiritual journey last year, that was the first time I stopped feeling displaced ever. And I think that that has more to do with me feeling more connected to humankind in general rather than our country or people. I think after I felt more connected to like everyone, then I started feeling more connected to, you know, our Filipino culture. Hopefully the next step is me feeling more connected to like our homegrown soil and whatnot.
Thank you for answering that, because you know, like these days a lot of the guests and, you know, like, you know, a lot of the people that I come in contact with or connect with, like obviously there's a lot of discussions, right? Like when it comes to like identity and race especially, and like community and stuff like that. And so that's why, you know, I'm curious what's your, where you are with that and what's your stance. But I appreciate you being honest with, yeah, like being like you not being in that place yet. So I just like appreciate you being transparent with like, no, like I still am not, you know, in that place where I can be, I can say like, you know, and then with so much like foundation with my identity as being, you know, like from this community and stuff. So yeah, appreciate that. And so yeah, like thank you for sharing, you know, like this background and really the focus of, you know, what I wanted to get into here is, because we definitely met through, you know, like when you did a reading for me and you have this whole like just like vast and just also like wonderful, you know, journey, like spiritual journey. I would like to know about your exploration with it. When did it, you know, like begin? How did it all start for you? Yeah.
Like the case with most Filipinos, I grew up Catholic. I grew up Roman Catholic. My parents are like very involved with this community called Couples for Christ. So I grew up in that community. And although I really enjoyed the spiritual aspects of it, it never quite like rung true for me. I felt like there were a lot of questions that I had that I felt like weren't being answered. There was a lot of, I didn't feel genuine during that period. I think it also has a lot to do with the fact that I wasn't being authentic to myself in general. I mean, I'm a bi woman of color, and I was an immigrant also growing up there. So that was always very fear inducing. So when I moved here and I gained more freedom as an adult, I didn't really practice anymore. I felt more identified as agnostic. I knew that there was something out there, but I didn't, I've always known, but I could never like pinpoint it. I just know that stuff's going on there. And then I kind of put off thinking about any of it, because I put off like thinking about all of my issues in general. And I was blessed to get a lot of wake-up calls. Like, I feel like the universe was constantly trying to wake me up, especially when I moved to Bukidnon. Like, that was the most I'd ever felt connected to nature, where I felt most connected to myself as a person. And I still didn't want to, like, delve deeper. And then this one night, I was leaving my friend's bar after a gig. And I hadn't even been drinking. I had like half a bottle or something. So, and I wasn't feeling it. So I called my sister to come pick me up. And then as we were leaving the parking lot, we got hit by a drunk driver. They hit me directly on impact. And I actually almost lost this eye. And I think that was the universe's way of telling me to stop trying not to see what the universe wants to see. I think that was the first time I woke up and I was like, I need to take care of my body. Like, I am not doing it any justice. Like, I was drinking heavily for a very, very long time. I was eating like really crap food for years. And that was after I healed from that accident. That was the first time in a long time I went back to the gym and started like working out. And then when I moved here, and the pandemic hit, Venus moved into the apartment right above mine. And I had my first encounter with a spirit, an entity. And it freaked me out so bad because, like, it just reminded me. I guess, like, it woke me up. Like, that was the wake-up call that I really could not look away from. Like, I couldn't ignore it. And it was honestly really terrifying. I was terrified up until like this year. And honestly, I'm still terrified a lot of the time. I feel like the fact that I accepted it doesn't make me fear any less. It's just made it a lot easier for me to accept the situations that I'm in and then move forward from them.
Yeah, like you've had that sort of, I guess, that moment when you had the accident and then, you know, like you came to an encounter and all these things. And, you know, like having all these things, I guess, you know, happen and, you know, like really happen to you. Was it really just like that moment when you like, is it like the accident or is it like the encounter where you really was just like, oh yeah, like there, you know, like there's some sort of like calling happening here. I'm just like wondering, when did you start kind of practicing the things that you've been practicing now, which is, you know, you do readings and, you know, like all these other, you know, like you're an intuitive healer and all these things. I wanted to, yeah, like hear from you. What does that mean like to you, and when this that kind of came for you and you were like, yeah, like, you know, like this is something that I am supposed to be doing right now?
Honestly, I feel like the wake-up call that actually shook me, that actually woke me up, was that encounter. Because like, that wasn't my first encounter. I just like actively ignored everything up until that point. But it just really shook me up, because actually when I was around 17, I actually got exercised. There's this point where I got really sick and I didn't get better, and my parents are really, really Catholic, and they can figure out what's going on. They had me exercise, and after that I felt better. And when I had that encounter with that being, it reminded me so much of that time. And that added to the fact that I knew that that encounter was real because my friend Venus correlates the experience. It was the first time that I hadn't experienced something alone. And that's when I knew, like, oh shit, like, this is real. Like, this is my reality now. Mm. And it took me quite a bit to reconcile with it. I really tried to push it away still, but the more I've tried to push it away, the more unsettled I became, and the more I felt like the more disorganized my life and my mind became. Then my friend Venus gave me a tarot reading, my first ever tarot reading, and she told me that I should get my own deck. And then after I got that, like, everything just clicked. I was like, I immediately know how to do this. Like, it's something that I've always known. And I've always known that I wanted to be a healer. I just didn't know how I could actively use it to help people. And tarot and practicing the craft is a vehicle for that.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I'm really happy that, you know, it kind of reconciled, like, with those parts of yourself. And I remember you, like, told me, like, this is why, like, you know, like, you, when you did a reading to me, and you were just, I was like, thanking you, and you're like, this is why I do what I, you know, what I do. And which leads me to my question of just, like, what does, like, this, you know, like, all mean to you, right? Like, because, like, it's always so easy to be like, oh yeah, my calling is to be a doctor, or like, calling to be a writer, or whatever. And I feel like at this age, a lot of people, which is really good, I'm really happy about, you know, like, the emergence of this whole generation, really just being I guess comfortable saying that they're a healer, they're, you know, a reader, and all these practices, like, being more visible. But yeah, like, for you, for your own, you know, journey with this department, what does this all mean to you?
The best way I can put it is that it made me realize that I am a warrior of love. Like, I'm a soldier of love. I think that I've always known that it was, I think myself and a lot of people are now realizing that one of their greatest gifts in this life is to love. And that's the most healing force there is. I really feel like I am a beacon. I'm just like a beacon receiving signals and allowing love to flow through me and hopefully touch as many people as I can.
Let's just say, yeah, like, this is amazing. Because I'm just taking in all, like, you know, all these, like, answers that you give me. And I don't know, like, it just makes me happy when I have these moments, or, like, I guess have these conversations with the people around me. And I'm just like, yes, like, this makes sense, you know, like, this connection, like, you know, the reason why we're in touch with each other, or we met, or whatever, like, yeah, we're on the right track. You know, like, I'm surrounded with the right people, I guess. So I appreciate all the work that you do and all these things. And I guess, like, I wanted to ask, because, you know, a lot of people have been doing, you know, these things now, right? Like, especially, like, on digital media, which is, I wanted to just know, like, what are your thoughts about that? And I guess, like, what do you want other folks, you know, like, the ones where they're, you know, like, still not into, like, these practices, or, you know, just, like, really not something that they believe or whatever. And I guess, and, you know, again, it's each to their own. But what if you can speak for, you know, for all of us here who really finds comfort and, you know, like, have this as a tool to navigate our lives smoothly, what do you want folks to understand more about this thing?
Okay. I would probably, the first thing that comes to mind for me is, like, I do want people to know, especially people who are, like, dipping their toes into, you know, the world of astrology or, like, witchcraft or spirituality or Gnosticism or whatever it is. Like, I just want to say right away, like, there's really no need to gatekeep what you're learning. I've been seeing a lot of like people saying like, you know, there's jokes where it's like, oh, you're Scorpio, ew, you're so manipulative and stuff like that. You know, I just want to say that this astrology and tarot reading, all of these things, like they're a tool to help you discover more about yourself and how you can connect to the others and connect to the world and to source. If you're gonna get into this thinking that it makes you better than somebody, like the whole point, that's not anywhere even close to the point. Like the point is to get out of this phase of separation from others. It's always about reconnecting. This separation going on, it has to end. Like, and also, I personally believe that anyone can read tarot. Anyone can. Anyone can practice the craft, or anyone can learn how to do astrology. So if you want to do it for yourself, I think that's amazing. And if you want to do it for others, you want to do it as like a side hustle because you feel like it's a calling and you're afraid to do it because there's so many of us now, like, don't hesitate. You know, what you have as a person, who you are, will always bring value to this world as long as you develop it. No one tarot reader is going to be able to give you the same reading as a different one. And it's going to vary, like, from minute to minute, from day to day. Like, don't be afraid to, like, go after it if that's what you want to do. I don't think anything bad is going to come out of you genuinely wanting. So don't be afraid to put up your ads for tarot readings. And if you've never gotten a tarot reading before, don't be afraid to get one. It's not that scary.
Yeah, and I fully recommend, you know, to anyone who's listening to this, to get a reading from her. She's amazing. You know, in all of these, I know that you're someone that, yeah, like, also, you know, the same as me, who really values connection and, like, you know, love, and how we're all, yeah, like, more of, like, you know, human, instead of, like, having to identify so much into labels. And so being, you know, with this practices in your life now, and where you are as well, and who you are becoming, how has your understanding of people in general, as you know, here literally on 3D, has evolved ever since? Like, what is it like now?
I'm gonna be honest and say that it's always been very easy to know what's on people's minds, and to know what they're feeling, and I've always kind of known, like, what a person's issue is, like, just from the moment of maybe, like, the first hour of, like, hanging out with them. I already know, like, this is what you lack from your childhood, or, like, these are the issues. I feel like it's a combination of growing up with a lot of issues and also just being very energetically sensitive. I think the only thing that has evolved from that is the language that I use. Now I have more words to put it in, so like I can express them to people without offending them or crossing their boundaries. And then now especially now that I'm more balanced as a person, I face a lot of my issues. Still working on, I know how to give not better advice, but to like give them a better perspective on things. I find that in my life, it's been very natural for people to want to express what's going on in their life. Like, I could just sit in a cafe and someone will just sit with me and they'll be like, it'll just like come out of them. Yeah. And before, I would just sit there and absorb everything. I would just take everything, be a free therapist for like an hour or something. So now I would say that my boundaries have evolved. Now I know when to say like, okay, I want to help you, but this has to be an equivalent exchange, mm-hmm. or like I are just like simply say like I don't have the space to I can't hold this space for you right now, or just to simply say like I'm here for you, I'm sorry that that happened to you, and then not saying the nuances of letting people like verbally figure out what's going on with them. I think that's what we call.
Yeah, I love that boundary point. I feel like, you know, the whole pandemic too, like even with the people that, yeah, like a lot of my friends too has kind of come into terms of like really setting and fully understanding, you know, like what boundary means and, like just like the intentions we have with the relationship. So yeah, I love that part. I love it when people talk about like their boundaries and also like knowing and sharing too, like, you know, their process through it. So speaking of, I know like you're someone that, you know, like you're initially like a healer and you do all these things to support people. But for your end, I wanted to ask because you also mentioned, you know, like you have had a lot of issues growing up and all these things, but at this point in your life, what have you been healing for yourself? Like what are the parts that you've been healing, if that's something that you're comfortable sharing with me?
Well, I probably healing like mostly my inner child. I feel like I had to grow up very quickly. I had a lot of responsibilities as a child. I had to basically raise my younger siblings with my older siblings, you know, because my parents were dealing with a lot. And then like, the issue of letting go, I think, was the hardest for me. Like really understanding that, you know, the way that I grew up wasn't fair, but like all of these issues that I have, like, it's not my fault, but it is my responsibility to actively work on it. Like, I think that it absolutely is no one's fault for the trauma that you experience, but it's your responsibility as a human and as a citizen of this universe to work towards being better so that you can contribute by being your most authentic self. I think that even if you aren't an active healer or your work isn't necessarily, it doesn't involve the public or whatever, I think that even just trying to be your best self automatically contributes to the whole of the human race, the whole of whoever resides in this universe.
Yeah, for sure. Inner child and letting go, I can definitely relate to those things. Child, and definitely. I just love this. I love that like we get to talk about like these things, like, you know, family or, you know, our childhood, whatever, because it just amazes me how there's so much more similarities that we both have and all these things. So with all of this things, there's so much to talk about, but I'm just like racking my brain. What I on top of my head was like, what do you, because you mentioned earlier that, you know, like in all with all of this, you understand fully more relate to like that you're like a warrior of love, and you know, like you navigate life really with intention of that. And so I was wondering if like love, what does that mean to you, and what do you now understand about it that you didn't before? Because obviously, right, like I'm sure you have had, you know, different perceptions of it growing up, and so yeah, like how did that what's the difference now, and how do you understand it at this point?
I guess I always thought that love was sacrifice, because that's what I was taught, that's what I grew up seeing. My parents, they gave up so much for me and my family, and that was what they always said. I do this, I suffer because I love you. And that's the whole narrative of Christianity. It's that Jesus died for you and he suffered at your hands to save you. So that's what I really thought love was. And I thought that if I didn't sacrifice myself for somebody, it meant that I didn't love them, or that I wasn't loving them enough. Mm. And it was so draining. I feel like so many people are coming to this realization, especially right now. It's so relieving. Like, now I recognize that love is, it's a force. I mean, I wish I came up with this, to be honest, but this is like something that my friends relay to me through one of their friends who's, I can't remember who it is, but it really stuck with me. And that's what I really work with now as a core belief, is that love isn't something that comes from within you. It's not something that is innately in you and you nourish and that you give to somebody. It's a force that you open yourself up to and then open yourself up again to release. So it goes into you and then out through you. And that's what I use to guide all of my actions today. It's like, what is, I think that for a lot of very empathetic people, there's like this imposter syndrome that happens where it's like, am I a caring person because I want to be known as a caring person? Do I love others because I want to be loved for being a lovable person? And I think that understanding that love is something that flows through you, it's something that you allow in and then you release back out into the world, it's kind of lifted that, the weight of that imposter syndrome of it. And now I worry less about what I have to gain from my actions. And the focus now is more like, do I want to help this person because I want to be seen as a helpful person? Do I want something in return from them? Or am I simply opening myself up to this opportunity to allow love to flow through me?
Yeah.
Oh my God. So much like good points. And that, first of all, the thing that you mentioned that really just like, I'm pretty sure, I don't think someone has, I guess, like explained it in that way. But when you mentioned that, you know, because I'm also Roman Catholic in paper, that I, you know, like I was, you know, like going to church, you know, growing up, whatever. But I like, you know, coming to high school up to this day, I never really practiced, you know, like the religion or whatever. And I've always just like really thought that there is a source, but like I didn't understand it, right? But not until to this point, or of unraveling things and stuff like that. And when you mentioned that before, you thought that love should be a sacrifice because that's what you grew up, you know, like into seeing, and you know, the whole narrative of like Jesus and Christianity, and that was just like really, I'm like, oh wow, yeah, that makes total sense. I could definitely, you know, like there was so much, especially I guess, you know, like in Asian culture where, you know, in families, like it should always be a sacrifice, love, like an act of a sacrifice of giving up something or doing this means love. And yeah, it just like really brought back how I've also navigated my relationship, how I've also, you know, been always like that, oh, it, for me to be able to prove to them that I love them, I need to do some sort of big gesture or some sort of like, you know, like a sacrifice or whatever. And I also thought like that's how it will be, you know, it should be earned when it's like literally shouldn't be in here. But yeah, you know, to wrap up like things with your end, I have this hypothetical question where if you could have it your way at this time, where would you be and what would you be doing?
You know, I think a lot of people have asked me that question over the years, like when they say, if you could do anything, like absolutely anything, be anywhere, whatever, like what would it be? And before, I would always say like, well, of course, I want to be like the most famous singer in the world. I want to never have to worry about food or money or whatever. But I think what I realize now about questions like that is that I always keep assuming that I can't do any of those things, like if I had it my way. But the truth of the matter is that I can always have it my way. I can choose how I want to live. The way that I live my life now is really how I want to live. So I would probably just be here, like, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Like, you know. Yeah, you're fine. I mean, like, that really speaks a lot with just where you are, you know, like, because we've always been conditioned of, you know, chasing, you know, one thing after the other. Do you, from your...
I feel like I already asked you, like, questions I would have asked you. Like, I feel like we already, like, you already said what I would have asked you. Usually, like, my first thing is to ask people, like, what was the hardest lesson you had to learn this year, or like what's something new that you learned about yourself that you were absolutely in love with now, something that made you fall in love with yourself this year.
Oh yeah, and thank you for that question. I love that question. Yeah, like I feel like the softer side, the softer parts of myself, the inner child, that's, you know, like, I definitely would say, like, you know, that inner child has finally been paid attention to, has finally had that space to play, has finally had that, yeah, like, space where I can nurture my relationship with that, you know, part of myself. And I wake up and I just, like, you know, to bed now thinking how in love I am with that part of myself, with that self. Like, I literally, you know, like, before I cry because of, like, anxiety and fear and, you know, how to get out of that situation. But now, like, I literally cry and just realizing how wonderful she is. You know, like, she has been, like, in the dark, in the shadows, like, for a long time and just, like, screaming at me. And now that I get to, I guess, like, that it in itself, getting to know her is, you know, is, like, the part that I've been falling in love with. It's, like, getting to know yourself and this different, in different ways. And, yeah, it's just, it blows my mind how much fun I've been having with her, with that part, those parts of myself, and how I, you know, like, it's like a roller coaster journey, because, like, sometimes, like, I would just, like, sob, like, thinking, because I'm so overwhelmed by how I'm loving and I'm having so much fun, you know, discovering this part of myself. And then I'll just, like, sob because, like, thinking, how did I ignore her for so long? You know, like, how did, literally, though, you know, like, how did I even do that to myself? And but also, you know, like, I now have the proper balance of holding compassion to myself too when that happens. And I feel like, yeah, I don't know if I'm even answering, you know, like, your question, but definitely, yeah, this inner child is, you know, definitely, like, this year has been a huge part that I've been healing and I've been discovering and been having fun and I've been in love with. And I've always, like, have these thoughts where, you know, sometimes when I'm just, like, painting or, like, you know, dancing or whatever I'm doing, trying to learn and just, like, have time for myself, I'll have this realization that I'm like, oh my god, like, I'm having so much fun on my own. And then thinking, I can't even imagine if I get to share this, you know, like, with other people, if I get to share these parts of myself with other people, like, how rewarding would that be? You know, like, how, I don't know, like, just, yeah.
I totally get that. Yeah.
Yeah, like, oh my god, like, I'm so much fun. I'm so in love with myself. Like, I would hang out with myself, you know, I would date myself. You know what I mean? Like,
that is exactly it. Oh my god, yes.
But yeah, it's like, oh, this is what they mean when you really come back to yourself. This is what they mean when you, yeah, the whole, like, love yourself, right? Like, question.
Wow, I love that. I absolutely love that. Like, I totally agree also, like, setting aside some space to to grieve for the past versions of yourself and for the versions of life you could have had but didn't. I love that. Yeah. Also, yeah. I love that you're like absolutely glowing right now. Like, holy shit.
How many days? It's like, what did they call it? Like golden hour.
Hey, you know what? Just because the moon reflects the sunlight doesn't mean that the moon isn't a shining star on its own. You know what I'm saying? Right.
Yeah. Thank you. Consolidate. But yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you're going to keep this part in, but like, I'm so happy. Like, because I remember when I first did a reading for you, like, I remember that March. That was only like a few months ago. And like, when I was reading your cards, like, I could already like see like your energy now. Like, that was exactly what I was channeling back then for you. And I was like, I remember after that reading, I was like, girl, like, I cannot wait till you get to this point. Because, like, wow. And I'm so happy, honestly. Like, I'm really happy that you're here now. Like, wow.
Me too. Me too. Yeah, I'm like really, yeah, happy. It's yeah, I cry because of that. Sometimes I'm just like, wow, I'm happy. A concept.
Yeah.
What a concept. No, it's just like, I mean, like, we met November. I remember it's December. Should I have to write? March, April, May. It's been half a year.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Just wow. I remember like started moving for you so fast already, like after that first reading. Every time we got a reading after that, it was like, you're not gonna guess what happened. Like,
yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's, yeah, I mean, like, really coming back to the readings that we've had, it all makes sense. You know, like, it's happening. It's happened. It's coming to life. And I'm also just happy to share, I guess, like, you, that you get to witness that too. Yeah, and I'm excited.
Chatting with her brings me a lot of insights, wisdom, and comfort. I hope that radiated with you all as well. See you in the next one. Let's connect on the internet. We're on Instagram at Marj Astani Studio. You can email us at hello@marjastanistudio.com. Subscribe, rate, review. We always love hearing from you.